Saturday Night Meditation, September 12th, 2009. The question this evening is, in offering wisdom or love or attempting to be of service to others, we understand that it is possible to infringe upon another's free will if they're not ready to receive this kind of information. We're interested in knowing if this creates a fifth chakra imbalance, and if so, how does one balance this?
We are those known to you as the principle of Akul. We greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator, in whose service we come to you this evening. We thank this group for calling us to your circle of seeking. It is our privilege and our pleasure to respond to your call. We are glad to share with you our humble thoughts on the subject of service to others. Before we begin, however, we would offer two thoughts. Firstly, we are, as this instrument said before the meditation began, those of Petan actually speaking this evening rather than our brothers and sisters of Latwi. And this is due to the energy of your circle, which is heavily biased in favor of love. And in order to support and encourage that vibration, those of Hetan, of the density of love, are very pleased to be chosen this evening to be the appropriate voice of those of Kuo as a whole. Secondly, as always, my friends, we would ask you to listen or to read these words with discrimination and discernment, not swallowing our thoughts without thinking about it, but rather listening for that echo of truth that appeals to you personally. For it is certain thoughts, not all thoughts, that will inevitably touch each of you. Therefore, it will free us from being concerned about interfering with your free will, if you will take responsibility for laying aside those thoughts of ours which you do not find helpful. We thank you for this consideration. The concept of service to others is at the very heart of the polarization that is the primary objective of each of you as seekers attempting to learn the ways of love. Because of the fact that it is so primary a concept, it is well to spend time contemplating service to others as those of the study group offered by the one known as Carol and the one known as Dean have done, and as the one known as Romy has done also. We thank each of you for collaborating on this query this evening. There are times when the roles that seekers play cause them to feel the need to infringe upon the free will of others. And as we say this, we are thinking of children and parents. It is definitely an infringement on an infant's free will to direct that infant in the ways of the planetary customs. And yet it must be done, just as a colt must be broken to bridle before it can be ridden. So the physical body of a young seeker must be broken to bridle in another way. Manners must be learned. Principles of social conduct must be inculcated. And the child must be trained to know how to be a functioning and effective part of the tribe of humankind. There is no doubt that each parent agonizes over the need for impressing his or her will on a child. And yet, what choice does a parent have when it is concerned with preparing the child for being an independent adult that is able to make his way in society? Indeed, parents draw back from that need to interfere with the free will of the child, only to that child's detriment. For if a child does not have all of the tools that he needs to fit in to a minimal extent with the culture in which he lives, he shall have difficulty in creating for himself a way to pay his bills and to make relationships and so forth. Yet, it is undeniable that in this case, the role that the parents play ends up placing this parent in what would seem to be a service to self. Series of actions as the parent trains the child in how to behave and how to think of others. Unless the parent enjoys impressing his will upon a child, so that instead of helping the child, the intent is to bully the child and to make the child feel small. There is no karmic debt or imbalance in the chakras resulting from the benign, beneficial, and kind training a parent must give to a child. Likewise, when one is in charge of a group, as a teacher or professor must be, he is again playing a role in which he must ask the students to learn certain things. Again, there is no karmic imbalance because of this role play, as long as a teacher does not use his authority to abase or shame one of his students or to make that student feel stupid or small. One may perhaps think of other roles which entities play, in which the responsibility of the role which they play creates the seeming impression of one's will over another. In all cases of this type, what is critical is not what is done, but rather what the intentions are of the entity who is imposing his will upon another. If the teacher's intention, for instance, is to share knowledge and to create the opportunity for his students to think about new ideas, the fact that he must ask the students to learn certain facts and repeat them back to him on a test is a benign and beneficial thing. One looks always to the intention when one is gauging the success of being of service to another. One looks to the intention when judging a service to others act, because the metaphysical world and the physical world are equally involved in service to others upon your planet. Your body is in space-time in a physical illusion. Your consciousness is in time-space, the realm of your energy body. Time-space is also an illusion, but it is a different kind of illusion in which thoughts are things. Consequently, if one balances the intention with the manifestation that is achieved of that intention, a space-time judgment would be entirely favoring the manifestation. Yet, from the time, space, or metaphysical perspective, the shape and quality of the intention to serve would far outweigh the manifestation. This should be of comfort to many who attempt again and again to be of service and find themselves lacking one way or another, according to their own judgment, in the manifestation of that attempt to be of service. From the metaphysical perspective, my friends, you are succeeding brilliantly if your intentions are pure. Let others worry about whether a manifestation is imperfect or perfect. That is not your concern. Your concern is only to attempt in the present moment to move according to the intention of service to others that you have set for yourself. This and only this should be your concern as a seeker. Certainly, it is satisfying when a service is appreciated and thanks are expressed. However, that entity that you are in your heart, the I that is the central, deep I of you, is an I that cares only about making the maximum effort to set a pure intention and then to express it in the physical world. Therefore, focus not upon whether or not you came over well when you attempt to be of service, but only upon the purity of your intention. Part of your question, my friends, had to do with the situation in which you are attempting to share ideas and philosophy that you feel are very helpful. There is a concern that as you attempt to share this information with others that you may be infringing upon their free will, since they have not perhaps asked for this specific service. You are concerned that there may be a blockage in the energy body. Now, we cannot give a general answer because of the fact that every entity seeking to share what he loves dearly goes about it in a unique way. Therefore, we can only say what tends to be true. It tends to be true that if information has not been requested, the compassionate course is to refrain from offering it. It is very difficult to feel so isolated when you have such treasure to offer people and when you are on fire with excitement of finding this new information that has really helped you. You simply want to give everyone that is around you the same good experience that you have had. It can come as a crushing blow to discover that virtually no one in your circle of family and friends is presently interested in sharing what it is that you know. If you persist in, as this instrument would say, buttonholing people and giving them your information, then you are definitely involved in service to self rather than service to others. This is because of the primal nature of free will. However, if you are moving not from the level of person to person, but from the level of soul to soul, and you have an opportunity to share a key idea or principle that you find useful, you are free of imbalance if you offer this information without concern or attachment for the outcome of this offering. On the one case, where you are buttonholing someone. You are pushing that entity, and you are indeed creating a blockage at the yellow ray. You are not creating a blockage at blue ray. If there is blockage, blue ray will not function. When you are blocked, you are always blocked in the first three chakras, or possibly the first four. And when you are impressing your will upon another, that is a yellow ray blockage. However, if you simply see an opportunity to drop a seed of thought, and you have no more interest in whether or not it is received well or not than is appropriate, then there is no ripple in the calmness of the energy body. No balance is disturbed and all is well. This instrument has often said she likes to function as a snooze alarm. She realizes that it is incumbent upon her in the role she plays as speaker to offer her shining truth with all the passion and skill that she has at her command. She is eager to aid in awakening those entities of your planet that are sleeping very lightly and are ready to wake up. However, once she has been able to catch their ear, once her snooze alarm has jolted them awake for a moment, she carefully refrains from being concerned as to whether or not they roll over and go back to sleep, or whether they sit up and say, "Now that's something I'd like to think about." When there is no concern for the outcome, the ego self is not involved. The yellow ray is undisturbed, and there is no imbalance in sharing truth. Therefore, it is well to achieve a sense of equanimity when it comes to sharing the philosophy that excites you, or when it comes to helping in any way another person. Staying at the soul level, what you are looking for is to aid entities in achieving what they desire. If your energies can link with the energies of one who is desirous of an outcome, and if you can help this entity come closer to his goal, you have served. If you answer a question that another has asked, you have served. If you respond to a request for time, the use of your talents, or your money, and you respond, you have served. Again and again, entities become concerned because after they have served, they see that what they have done has not been taken as it was offered. Yet we say to you, that is not your concern. As a servant of the light, what you are interested in doing is seeing entities as they truly are, as creatures made of love, as the Creator itself looking back at you from another pair of eyes. When you respond soul to soul, enlarging the love in the moment and reflecting love given by love received. You are polarizing to the best of your ability, and you are accelerating the pace of your own spiritual evolution in so doing. When you wish to help, and you wish to help in a certain way, it is well, therefore, to take counsel with yourself and with your guidance system. Seek out and come to understand any impurities in your desire to serve others. Earlier this day, this instrument was engaged in a live chat for the Bring Forth Spiritual Community Online. And she was asked about serving others and serving the self, for when you serve others, you are almost inevitably serving yourself, since to serve others is to serve the self, since all is one and all is the Creator. And the instrument responded by saying that, again, it has to do with intention. For instance, if someone comes to you and offers you a cup of tea because he wants you to think of him as service to others oriented, he is not actually being of service to others. Rather, he is manipulating you so that you will think well of him. And it is a failed attempt to serve others. However, if an entity looks at that same person and thinks, oh, that person may need a drink, let me offer him one, and spontaneously goes up to the entity and says, may I offer you a cup of tea? The intention is pure, the service is genuine, and that entity is polarized. It does not matter that service to others inevitably results in a universe of balance in service received from others. That is, as your Bible calls it, bread cast on the water, it shall return tenfold and a hundredfold. We encourage you to move into the paradox where service to others becomes service to self. With the sure knowledge that it is only a paradox to the logical mind, which does not have the view of all things as being one, and of the universe as you now see it on planet Earth, as a system of infinite mirrors, so that everything about you speaks to you, and you, in turn, offer yourself as a mirror, reflecting others to themselves as well. The one known as Rami added a rider to the query during the conversation, and we would address that rider. That part of the query which did not make it onto your opening question on your audio cassette tape, had to do with how an entity who is attempting to be of service and who has seemingly failed can feel that everything is perfect and everything is all right. Certainly that is not the feeling that is manifested within the energy body and within the emotions at a time when every attempt to be of service has been rejected. From our point of view, that situation, as all situations, is perfect. For it is giving you, as the one known as Ram Dass has said, grist for your mill. There is a spiritual process going on within the life of each of you. It is infinitely complex, intricate, and subtle. The outer catalyst comes into your energy field and impinges upon it according to your biases, giving you feelings of discomfort, grief, anger, and other seemingly negative emotions. To the worldly part of your thinking, these emotions seem unfortunate and distasteful. To the seeker within you, however, we would say that such emotions are gifts. They are gifts of a certain type. They are gifts that show you where your pain lies. And more than that, they show you what the pain is hiding. So you take those surface emotions and sit with them and allow them to ripen in your meditation time, continuing to regard those feelings with respect and with gratitude. You do well to let them mature. For even the harshest surface emotion, as it is refined by the ripening process, shall begin to deepen your nature and hollow you out so that you may carry more love, just as a chalice carries wine. Suffering of all kinds hollows out the earthly personality if you let it. It does not have to embitter you or make you cynical. If you respect your own emotions and regard them with affection and a lack of judgment, and if you persist in allowing yourself to feel those emotions and let them move ever deeper, you shall find that the gift begins to bear fruit. As you feel yourself becoming more spacious within, more responsive to the deeper emotions, you will find that you are an alchemist, turning disharmony into harmony. Fear into love. Darkness into light. It is a natural process. And it begins with the disharmony, with the darkness. Such are the ways of spirit, and that is why we say that things are perfect at all times, although they may be uncomfortable. Do not cringe away from your suffering, but rather cradle yourself as you endure through the natural process of the alchemy of the transforming energy of the love in your open heart. Before we leave this subject, we would note that it is very helpful in work of this kind to devote some of your precious time to sitting in silence or to entering the silence in some way. It is easy for the conscious mind to think all manner of things, some of them contradictory. It is easy to become confused as to what you wish to do. It is easy to become confused even as to who you really are. When you enter the silence, you enter the realm of the one infinite creator. You enter eternity and infinity, and most of all, you enter the present moment, which intersects at all times with the metaphysical universe. You are a heartbeat away at all times from the gateway of intelligent infinity. You simply need to release the self from the strictures of the intellect and logic and enter the silence. This is a helpful adjunct to the practice of attempting to serve others, and we would encourage it. We have no feelings as to how you wish to enter the silence. Every person's choice will be unique, and that is as it should be. We can only urge you to it, for we feel that it is inevitable that you will find it a helpful practice in your seeking. May we ask if there is a follow-up to this query? Well, we are those of Bakul.
Not from Miko.
We are those of Bakul. And as there is no follow-up requested, we would ask if there is another query in the group at this time. We are those of Bakul. We are those of Kuol, and we thank you, my brother. It is a privilege to be able to share energy with you at this time. Since there are no more queries in this group. We would at this time. Reluctantly, we must admit, for we greatly enjoy being with you and seeing the beauty of your auras as they blend. Say adieu for tonight. We are those of Guru. We leave you as we found you, in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. Adonai. Adonai Vasu.